Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right. And now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Maltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Ooh, very fun.
Didn't expect this.
No, The Offspring?
I don't know
why they're The Offspring.
I don't know why you pronounced, why you emphasized the spring part.
Offspring.
The Offspring? The Offspring.
The Offspring. The
I always thought that The Offspring were good, but I thought that they were just sort of like, they fell in that trap where they wound up just sounding like everybody else did, like Sum 41 and just like...
Those bands, they kind of go like this when they talk and they sing at the same time. You know what I mean? Like those kind of groups.
Yeah, Blink 182.
Oh, God. Blink 182 is one of my least favorite musical groups of all time because I remember people, and I think this is going to probably ruffle Colin's feathers. And if you listen to Colin, one of my favorite things to do is listen to music because Colin is like an actual musician. And it's weird. It's like this weird thing where Colin is like this really talented musician and yet knows nothing about music. Ooh, burn. But Blink 182 is the worst because I was growing up and I liked punk rock, like actual punk rock, like punk rock. And they were, and people were like, yeah, Blink 182 is punk rock. I'm like, are you for real? Just because they have tattoos and a lip ring, when they go, say it ain't so, I will not go, turn the lights off, carry me home.
Nah.
The Sex Pistols, you are not. Okay?
Yes.
Okay? So
the Ramones.
Yeah, yeah. No,
you will never be.
No, thank you. So, yeah, when you, where are you? And I'm so sorry. I cannot sleep. I cannot dream tonight. It's like, wow, yep, you and Henry Rollins, man. You're just changing the world.
The same.
You're just changing the world.
The same.
That's what bothered me, because their music was like snappy enough to be a boy band, but they were like, we're not a boy band. Look, we have tattoos. I'm like, oh, no, you are a boy band.
You are a boy band, and then,
it's like, yeah, Travis Barker can play the drums. No argument here. So you're not Nick Lachey and company, but you, the product you're pumping out is very much a boy band.
Yeah, you are a popular culture music group.
I'm gonna really hope that our first guest, our only guest this week, but our guest this week is not a Blink 182 fan. If not, she's going to be mad at me. But
it's true.
Through the time space continuum, I think I'm gonna be okay for this one.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right for the next 20 minutes.
There is a lot to talk about in the world of pro wrestling. We are going to spend this episode after we are joined by Jordan Grace in just a minute. She's on the line, ready to go. We are going to talk about Hulk Hogan. This one for me, I have really kind of reshaped almost my thinking entirely on this. You'll see what I mean. But I think if nothing else, I know it might start to get a little icky and get a little uncomfortable. But what we're going to do is just put it all on the table, talk about it, because hopefully, if we do our jobs tonight, even when he does show up on TV, which I'm told is when, not if.
Yeah, inevitable.
We don't have to talk about it because you know how we feel about it.
Right.
Because this is how we feel about it.
Right? Yeah, right.
But there's a lot going on in independent wrestling. There is a major spoiler floating around
Correct.
For NXT. Now, the New Age Insiders are, and DC Matthews will appreciate this, we are hashtag spoiler free. Have been from our inception.
Spoiler free since 03.
We only give spoilers away when people want them. Like, we knew about Dalton Castle when beating Cody Rhodes in August.
Right.
We told Patreons, and literally it was like, do you want to know? And I'll DM you. We're not going to give away the NXT spoil. We know that Brandon's out there listening live. We see everybody listening live. Brandon's already asked that please don't tell me. So we're not going to tell you the major NXT spoiler
here.
If you want to avoid it. But we are going to do is talk about it on the Patreon edition after this because, not because we're greedy, terrible people, but because you have the ability to fast forward.
Yes, it's not a live show.
Exactly.
So we can tell you skip to, but like, basically, we'll record the episode, have Bill let us know when the time is,
yep.
Then start the episode with, if you want to skip to the part where we don't talk about the NXT spoiler.
Exactly.
And I almost said it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. The thing we're definitely not going to give away right now. You know, that thing, this.
go to timestamp, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
You know, so.
So we'll talk about that on the Patreon edition. You can become a Patreon on newageinsiders.com
today.
You
can be a Patreon too. Who?
Yeah, there you go. We're also going to talk about.
Thank you, Bill. I do appreciate that.
Nice.
We're also going to talk about the Pittsburgh crowd during Extreme Rules and what a crowd can do. And
I'm
how much
still mad about it.
There you go. How much a crowd can have an effect on a wrestling show. That's the Patreon edition of the New Age Insiders. But we tell you all the time that there's a big world of pro wrestling out there. And one of the coolest things that we've had the opportunity to do is see female wrestling, women's wrestling really evolve over time. And it's this awesome point where we kind of jumped into the wrestling world around 2012. And ever since 2012-13, things have really improved at a rapid pace for female wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
And I just think independent wrestling, you know, regardless.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons, the primary reason, is the talent involved. And our guest this week is one of the reasons that people are excited about independent wrestling, one of the reasons that they're excited about intergender wrestling, somebody who's not afraid to tackle that, and somebody who's writing a historical book. So if Jordan Grace is ready to go, we are ready for Jordan Grace, the independent super megastar. The master of the bear hug, by the way, the New Age Insiders are joined by Jordan Grace. We hope you enjoy. We tell you all the time that one of our most sincere thrills and pleasures as part of the New Age Insiders experience is bringing the world of pro wrestling to you and bringing the people that make pro wrestling so great to all of you guys. And it really comes down to the stars. And one of the most compelling and captivating and talented young stars, male or female, in pro wrestling right now, bar none, is Jordan Grace. The notoriety she's getting, the attention that she's getting, the match quality that she's putting on with both men and women is catching a lot of people's attention. She's also, if you're not following Jordan Grace on Twitter, shame on you. You are missing out on a really fun time, somebody with a ton of personality. And so we are really excited to talk about, like I said, one of the great up-and-coming talents in the sport in Jordan Grace. So thank you so much for taking the time. And Jordan, welcome to the New Age Insiders.
Hey guys, how's it going?
We're doing all right. How are you this evening, or this morning, or whenever people are listening, I guess?
I'm good.
All right, Jordan, so I want to kick it off right at the top because there was a recent announcement made that's really worth talking about. You are going to be all in one of the biggest independent events ever put on. You're one of the biggest independent stars in the world right now. I don't think it gets any bigger than what's coming up in Chicago this September. The New Age Insiders will be a part of All In. Jordan Grace, congratulations that you will be a part of All In. What does this event mean to you as a performer? We have obviously talked to fans from all over the world and asked them what they think about the event from a fan perspective. I think from a booking perspective, this means basically everything to Cody and Nick and Matt. But Jordan Grace, you were invited to be part of All In. You accepted. What does that mean to you, and what are your thoughts on the show itself?
Well, I'm not on the show itself. So they're doing a convention, like a four-day convention alongside of the actual All-In event. So I'm all in at StarCast, which is like not the actual show, but I still think it's really cool that I was invited to even be at the convention, because it's basically like everybody who is somebody in wrestling is going to be there.
Absolutely. And you're somebody in wrestling, I think, because and again, this is one of my favorite things, is to talk to the people themselves about what's going on. It seems like, you know, one of the things you're known for best is intergender wrestling and excelling at intergender wrestling. Your match with David Starr, for example, was exceptional. And it seems like when you talk on Twitter and you address fans, it seems like the people that have maybe a problem with intergender wrestling very rarely seem to be the wrestlers themselves. So, Jordan, now you have an opportunity to talk about what's it like to be an intergender wrestling star. What do you think about fans that might have negative connotations about men wrestling women, and what's it like to be someone who's not afraid to get in the ring with the guys?
Well, basically, yeah, like you said, the only people that really have a problem with energy into wrestling is fans themselves and sometimes old school wrestlers. Actually, this past weekend, I had a match with Ethan Page, and I wrestled in front of the Rock and Roll Express, and I asked Ricky Morton to watch my match. And, you know, he has the kind of the mentality that PCO has now, where it's like, okay, well, wrestling has changed, and we don't want to be stuck, like, in the past, basically, is how he's saying it. And he said, like, for an intergender match, it was great, and he loved it. So I think that it's just funny how guys like that who've been wrestling for, what, like, 3/4 of their life, 40-something years, can have that kind of mentality on intergender wrestling, and fans, you know, they can't see it like that.
Why do you think that is? Is it just because those guys came up at a time when it wasn't supposed to be a show, it was supposed to be presented as an actual fight, and obviously there's that moral issue of a man fighting a woman. Have they not adapted to the times? What do you think are still the reservations with intergender wrestling today?
I think they haven't adapted to the times, and I do truly think it is like some subconscious underlying sexism. Like, women aren't as good as men. Women shouldn't be able to compete with men, and I really think that's what it comes down to. Even if they say they're not sexist and that's not what it's about, like, subconsciously, I really and truly think that's what it is.
Jordan, one of the great things about, like I said earlier, following Jordan Grace on Twitter is because you are very open and very candid with how you feel towards fans and when they happen to say things that are just flat out stupid. Jordan Grace isn't afraid to call them on that. We've worked for Chaotic Wrestling for almost 5 years now, so we've been in our fair share of locker rooms. We've seen how guys and girls interact in said locker rooms, how promoters treat men, how promoters treat women. But obviously, it's a different world if you're female, you tend to be treated differently in the world of pro wrestling. So what are your experiences? What have your experiences been like as a female in the industry and sharing a locker room with guys? And do you feel that men and women are treated equally in the world of independent pro wrestling?
You know, I've been wrestling for 8 years, and in the past 8 years, things have really changed dramatically. And when I first started, I was wrestling in Texas, and that's kind of like, that's not a place where a ton of women wrestlers get a lot of work. And I think it's kind of hard to exist in the world of wrestling in Texas because it's kind of like a closed-in box. And people's mentalities there are so much different from the ones on the East Coast and the Midwest and the West Coast. Texas is like its own little country and its own little world altogether. And so when I first started out, I really got a lot of like the sexist comments and a lot of just things that were completely unnecessary, like unwanted advice from people that basically, for lack of a better way to say it, they really just wanted to get in my pants and, like, you know, they wanted to have another name on their totem pole or however it goes. And that was, like, a big thing when I was coming up. And I was 14 years old. I'm not sure if they know that or not, but that was a thing that was happening. And since, I would say, in the past 2-3 years, the women's revolution has really brought women's wrestling to a forefront and brought women a lot more respect in the world of wrestling. And I really have felt that just by moving up to the East Coast and how I'm treated now. I feel like I'm respected in wrestling. Like, in the locker rooms, I don't feel like anyone is talking down on me or saying anything negative or saying any kind of sexist comments. So just from being in wrestling the past 8 years, things have dramatically changed.
If we could have a magic crystal ball that made every wrestling promoter in the world listen to this episode of the New Age Insiders, what's the one thing you would want every wrestling promoter to hear from Jordan Grace when it comes to booking and treating women in their locker rooms?
One thing I would say is just treat everyone fairly. Treat everyone the same and, like, treat everyone equal. Don't put women above men and don't put men above women.
Jordan, I've got to admit, I am fascinated by your book, where you are going to basically reveal your DMs, the history of people being ridiculous to Jordan Grace through Twitter DMs and direct messages in general. What inspired you to turn all of these messages in? What inspired you to keep your DMs open? Then what inspired you to write the book in the first place? And what do you want people to know about this really terrific book that's going to be coming out and really, I think, exposing a lot of wrestling fans for the creeps they can be?
Well, I think every women's wrestler has had this idea at some point or another just to compile all their DMs. And I think maybe I'm the first one to actually do it. You know, it is an investment to actually get books printed, obviously. And so I'm not really sure that a lot of women have wanted to do that. But I think I am one of the first people that's actually said, you know, screw it and done it. But I thought about it for years, just the ridiculousness and all the stuff I get is just really insane. And it sucks because I wish that I could go back like 8 years ago and find my DMs from then. But I don't know if you know this or not. Unfortunately, Instagram deletes messages after a certain period of time. So 2 years ago when I first started my Instagram, I was getting some really crazy stuff. And I couldn't pull from my Instagram from 2 years ago. So I had to use some more recent stuff. And basically, I think that everybody's going to be really disgusted and entertained by this book, basically.
Jordan, keeping it, let's call it PG-13. What's the funniest DM that you've received? What's a preview, a little teaser for DMs of a Female Indie Wrestler, the book by Jordan Grace?
Did you say the funniest or the most disgusting?
Let's go with something that falls into the category of PG-13 or like just barely rated R. The kind of PG-13 where we can show a little nudity tastefully like Titanic. That kind of PG-13.
Okay, well, there is a guy in there that he goes on and I don't know if this is true or not, but he says he's 13 years old and then he proceeds to just basically write a sex novel about what he would like to do to me. I don't think that's PG-13, so I'm sorry about that, but I didn't get into details, so.
No, you can say sex novel, you know what I mean? It's just when you start reading from the sex novel that we might have to start thinking it over. Jordan, I really do think you're an exceptional talent, and one of the things that really I think stands out about you is the fact that you know, you're known as Thick Mama Pump. You're a proud bodybuilder. You don't fit the conventional model status that used to be WWE in the early 2000s of, you know, you have to be blonde, you have to be super tall, you have to look a certain way. How have you seen expectations for women in general, independent wrestling, televised wrestling, how have you seen those change over the years, and what made you decide to be so true to yourself and to stand out from, you know, a crowd loaded with little blonde women when Jordan Grace wants to be something different than that?
Well, women's wrestling has definitely changed in the fact that WWE for the most part has almost entirely stopped hiring models. They're actually hiring women's athletes now. Whether or not they're professional wrestlers is a different story, but they're hiring athletes, whether like they look good or not. Like I saw a recent signee that doesn't look anything like what you would expect. You know, she's a little bit heavier and she's a brunette, but she's beautiful. And it's crazy because 10 years ago, WWE probably wouldn't have even considered her. And it's just, I want to correct you on something. I'm not a bodybuilder. I'm a power lifter. There's a big difference, but yeah, I think that I'm just happy the way it's changed. And I'm happy that I think I'm finally going to get an opportunity, even though I don't look like a typical model that they used to hire, you know?
Sure. Even Deonna Purrazzo, who's a recent signing, she's now at the Performance Center. That's become public information. You know, Deonna Purrazzo is a tremendous athlete, and she's not blonde, and she isn't a former Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. You know what I mean? She's a professional wrestler who's been doing this professional wrestling for years now and is getting rewarded for it. And I think just seeing the whole landscape change and shift in that direction has been great and given us actual quality women's wrestling that really adds to these shows. Jordan, my final question for you is, as we talk about independent wrestling, as we talk about Performance Center signings, what are your goals remaining in the business? Are there any women you still need to fight? Are there any men that you still need to check off the list? Are there titles to be won? Are there contracts to be signed? What does Jordan Grace have in store for the future?
My main goal, and this is probably going to be the final thing I do in wrestling, and I hope it happens at some point, but of course I'd love to get contracted to the WWE. That's like my big goal right now. I haven't even had a tryout, so just that's my overall goal. I don't really have a list of people that I am particularly wanting to wrestle. I've wrestled so many people that are just incredible. Even over the past 6 months, I wrestled people that I never thought I'd be able to wrestle. That just this month alone, I wrestled Ethan Page and David Starr, who are basically two of the top male indie wrestlers in the world right now. So just the fact that I've done that, I'm really happy with the place I'm at right now, and WWE would definitely be my next step.
DMs of a female independent pro wrestler, Jordan Grace, where can people find you? What do you have coming up? What are your upcoming dates? Because if people can see you live, they should.
All my social media is under Jordan Grace, J-O-R-D-Y-N-N-E. Grace is spelled regularly. I have my book available for pre-order. I should be having them shipped out next week at thejordangracewrestler.com. And the end of finishing off this month, I have 6 shows. I have Shine in Tampa, Battle Club Pro in Jersey, Innovative Pro in Jersey, and then the next weekend I have Limitless up north, Nova Pro, and then American Run at Beyond.
Outstanding. Jordan Grace, you really are one of the most talented and must-see stars in pro wrestling, male or female. It has been a pleasure to talk to you. I hope the book does super well, and I hope you have great success in the future. You deserve it. I think the sky's the limit for you, and thank you so much for joining the New Age Insiders.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade. And we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie Jamikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling, from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner, Jamie Jamikowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
You know, it's...
You know the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show is the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
But what if we told you that there's also a show for fans of all kinds to do the same?
That show is Late Night Liam. Show hosted by myself, Liam Stryker.
And me, Bill Neville. Join us immediately following NAI Pod every Wednesday as we dive into pop culture, sports, current events, and more.
Can't listen live? No worries. Late Night Liam can be downloaded on demand exclusively on the NAI Network channel. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and all podcast platforms.
Once again, join Late Night Liam live every Wednesday following NAI Pod.
When you and fans of all kinds can connect, discuss, and be heard.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Maltov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
This episode took a turn.
Yeah. So first and foremost, thanks to Jordan Grace. We are legitimately big fans, and we know that the future's super crazy bright for you. So thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you guys got a kick out of that. So now what we're going to do is talk about what everybody's talking about, because it would be, I think, almost an elephant in the room if this episode came and went without talking about the biggest story outside the ring, kind of in the world of WWE right now, which is the Hall of Fame reinstatement of Hulk Hogan.
Right.
So the big preface I'm going to throw out there is we're just going to be very honest.
Right.
No matter what you think of our opinion, it's going to be sincere. It's going to be honest. And what we're trying to do is have a frank discussion and weigh everything, because I'll tell you, first off, my opinion of this has changed a lot over the past 24 to 48 hours, just being honest. I'm not going to rewrite history. We have some awesome, amazing people that listen every single week, and they kind of know how we feel about a lot of things. I think Pav knows how I feel about Hulk Hogan more than I do already, somehow.
Okay.
So everybody I think knows that I was very pro Hulk Hogan returning for the whole time.
Yeah.
I thought that it was one of those things where, and maybe returning isn't the right word. What I thought, though, was, so Hulk Hogan is Babe Ruth of WWE.
Right.
And if we're telling the history of the New York Yankees and think we can get away with skipping the Babe Ruth part, you're foolish, and you just can't, right?
Right.
And so, for better or worse, and really worse, wrestling characters, sorry, Diesel and Razor Ramon, are only cast once.
Yeah.
Right? Except for Razor Ramon.
Diesel.
Right, and Kane. Right?
Yeah.
And Taker-ish, sort of. But they're, you get what I mean.
Yeah.
They're cast once. So, if you cast a bad person as a good character, you're kind of stuck with the combination of the two.
Right.
And that's where we are with Terry Bollea being, I'll say it, seems like a pretty bad person. And Hulk Hogan being a all-time beloved, and if nothing else, very important character.
Right.
And so I thought for a long time through the years that you can't do that. You can't pretend Hulk Hogan didn't happen. The three of us went to Dallas.
Right. That was going to be the first thing that I brought up was, now that Hulk Hogan's back in the Hall of Fame, the only thing I've ever really wanted with this is I just want to be able to talk about him, right? In the same way that we've done this in the past with other WWFE legends before, where it's like, all of a sudden, we can't talk about the Macho Man.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, we can't talk about the Ultimate Warrior.
Right. And then all of a sudden, we totally
and
can.
And now, all of a sudden, we totally can. And the worst part is that, for better or for worse, like you were saying, we just couldn't talk about Hulk Hogan. And we sat in probably the worst WrestleMania ever in Dallas.
32?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the worst WrestleMania ever.
By far the worst of the four we've been to.
Right. And it was bad because at the beginning, on that gimungous TV screen that they have that they're so proud of at AT&T Stadium, they're telling us about how WrestleMania is built on moments. And they don't show any of the moments from WrestleManias 1, 2, and 3, because WrestleMania 1 is not good. And
yeah, but they don't show Andre.
Right, but the big one is 3. They don't show Andre getting body slammed.
Yeah.
They don't show Rock and Hogan at 18.
Yeah.
And look, I don't ever need to see Hulk Hogan on my television screen again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, we got to be able to talk about him.
The way that I think WWE should have handled Hulk Hogan from the beginning, because now I don't know if they can't. So here's what I know, right? I texted somebody that one of the guys that is our super reliable sorts of information. Basically, the things that you guys have heard from us mostly come from him. And I said, what's going on with Hogan? And I know that he knows what's going on because the internet was going. A bunch of people said that the Hulk Hogan apology was taped, and it wasn't. And then he texts me and goes, it was taped. And now we found out it was taped. So he knows what's going on.
Well, of course it was taped. For a company that's a bunch of media whores,
Of
course they knew Hulk Hogan was coming into the building.
It was a mandatory meeting.
There was a mandatory meeting. Of course we're going to stick a camera in that face. Also, that people that are using that as a negative connotation they're just stupid.
What, that it got recorded?
That it got recorded. Well, like, that they're saying that it was, you know, this apology's forced and all these other things.
Well, those are two different things, though. Did you hear what the apology was? The apology was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
The apology was, I'm sorry that I got caught. The apology was, I was recorded without my knowledge. I am repulsed at myself about the content of what I said.
Right.
It's a terrible apology.
Yeah, no. The apology's fine. But people are mad that they taped it, that it was just like all this big giant ruse. And it's like, this company tapes everything.
I agree with you. I'll just play the other side and say, I can understand why people think it lacks some sincerity because it's now going to be a network special thing.
Yeah.
Instead of just this, like, I think the difference here is, camera or no camera, what people wanted was for Hulk Hogan to go into that room and say, I am disgusted with myself. the things I heard myself say, I can't believe it. It's one when you hear it out loud. It took a long time for me to forgive myself. I'm asking you to forgive me. If you can't, I understand. I am a different man, and the amount of self-reflection I've done the last 3 years, you wouldn't even believe.
Yeah, right.
They said, sure. So, that's what people wanted. And instead, it sounds like what Hogan did was be typical slimy
Hogan
and go, yeah, brother, I mean, they taped me illegally. And it's like, that doesn't make me feel better about it at all, Hulk. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That part, you're absolutely right.
I mean, if your girlfriend cheated on you and because you know, the security camera was on and she was like, well, you didn't tell me you had security cameras. It's like, bitch, I'm still mad.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Again, you're absolutely, absolutely right. The point is that there are things to be mad about, and that's one of them. And there's things to not be mad about. Yeah, we had this mandatory meeting that could have potentially been an altering moment in the history of the WWE right now. Yeah, of course we're going to stick a camera in that room.
Yeah. So I don't even want to talk about that's what it is. I think it's a little, I understand why to me it lost a little bit of taste and gravity when it became like, all right, everybody, Hulk Hogan's about to apologize, you know, make eye contact and look attentive. You know what I mean?
Right.
I get why it's like, is this whole thing just part of the show too? Is the, this is Hulk Hogan. So is even the apology just part of the show? And if you're the New Day and Titus O'Neil and Mark Henry and self-respecting black men in that locker room,
right,
and all you heard was, sorry I got caught, guys.
Yeah.
I would imagine that falling unbelievably hollow.
Right.
So here's, and I want Bill's opinion on this. I want your opinion on this. And there were no right or wrong answers. It's just how you feel. How I feel is, like I said, I wanted Hogan back in a big way because my childhood is Hulk Hogan. It's a very selfish. Everything I'm about to tell you is selfish. You don't have to tell me. I'll tell you. I'll say it for you. Everything I'm about to say is selfish. I liked Hulk Hogan. He was my childhood. I've said this before. My first memory, I might be 3 years old, is having a Hulk Hogan in one hand and an Ultimate Warrior in another and just clacking them together because they were fighting, right? In the front seat of my dad's car. I can still picture it. And I didn't want him to go away. The point I made earlier about you can't talk about the history of this company and not bring up Hulk Hogan. It is impossible. But now, the issue is that they publicly pulled him away and said he's suspended from the Hall of Fame. And so now, because they want him back, oh, and by the way, I don't even think I gave that piece of information away. The guy that knows what's going on said that there's a really good chance Hulk Hogan hosts SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So that's not concrete. I'm not going out there and telling you definitely expect that. But if you hear rumors start to turn that Hulk Hogan is hosting SummerSlam, I'd believe them. Anyway.
Oof.
Yep. That's the oof part. Because here's what I wish the WWE had done from the very, very beginning. Exactly what the Buffalo Bills did. O.J. Simpson, right? Even though he was found not guilty of the double homicide, was found criminally responsible for their deaths in civil court. That's why he has to pay the Goldmans basically every penny he ever makes.
Right,
that's why
he technically never makes any money.
So O.J. Simpson has been legally found criminally responsible for the murders of two people, right? And the Buffalo Bills have not pulled him from their Ring of Honor, NFL has not taken them out of their Hall of Fame. There is no asterisk on his rushing yards. This is just, this guy did three notable things in his life. He played football, he was in Naked Gun, and he killed two people.
Yeah.
And what the NFL has done is just stayed the course. And what they've done, and the NFL is an awful organization right now, but one thing I do think they've done right is to say, and maybe it'd be different if he got convicted of the double homicide.
Maybe.
But what I think is even the NFL would say, what am I going to do, take his rushing yards away?
That
those two things are actually in no way related.
Right, exactly.
So what I wish the WWE had did is just said, Terry did a terrible, stupid thing.
Yep.
We're pulling all the t-shirts. He's not going to be on TV.
Right.
He's not going to be at Legends appearances.
He's no longer, his Legends contract is over.
Right. So now we don't have to use him. And it's just, we're not going to talk about him. O.J. Simpson, I don't think, has ever, you know, flipped the opening coin toss for the Bills.
Yeah.
Because O.J., hey, Juice, stay home.
Yeah, we don't need you.
But now, if the Buffalo Bills had pulled him from the whatever, the Ring of Honor, unretired his number, all that stuff. And then the new owner came along and decided to forgive him because, hey, after all, people deserve second chances and he didn't he didn't get convicted of actual homicide. Well, now we have to re-celebrate O.J. Simpson?
Right.
Because now we're putting him in a hall.
Well, and that's the part that's got to be the toughest, because
I don't want to re-celebrate Hulk Hogan.
You're right. Hulk Hogan being the host of SummerSlam is
even just publicly saying WWE forgave Hulk Hogan. Yep. That is spotlighting Hulk Hogan.
Right.
And I do think he's going to turn up on TV at least once.
Oh, he has to.
Because that is the final look. I'm forgiven.
Yeah.
Right?
You should too.
And we'll talk about fan rumors and potential things of how he gets involved at SummerSlam if he gets announced and as time goes on. We have about a month before SummerSlam, right? This is just about him coming back. And now, where I am personally, is he should not have been publicly forgiven.
No.
He shouldn't come back. And I loved, and I'm so glad we get to do this in the split personality thing with him. I loved Hulk Hogan. I loved my favorite wrestling match is The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. I love everything about him. That idiot, that dude with hot dog skin ripping off his shirt and asking which section of the crowd is loudest is the most fun I had growing up. But here's the thing, as an adult that I realized, is you don't get to be fun and entertaining and be a bad person and call it even.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. And then I look at things like The New Day releasing a public joint statement saying, we're not going to protest this, but we found the apology to be insincere. And until Hulk Hogan makes an active effort to change, they won't do segments with him or work with him.
Yeah, okay.
Titus O'Neil, a few hours ago, released a statement basically saying, I'm with the New Day here. The apology was bogus.
Yeah.
The things he said were unforgivable. I don't think he really even cares about my forgiveness. So I am not going to boycott the company. I'm going to be a good soldier. But ultimately, all in all, I'm not happy about it. And then I think about fans, because we've got amazing people that listen to this show. And I'm not just going to do that white guy thing and start naming all the black people I know, right? Because that's so stupid. But you know that there are people of all different backgrounds that listen to this wrestling show every single week. And so I look at it like this. If I before would have been happy to see Hulk Hogan, he'll hear Real American, rip off the shirt, you know, wave to the crowd. And I would have been like, yeah, woo, a couple weeks ago, right? I would have been like, yeah, it's Hulk Hogan. But then you see the quote, the actual quote from the tape. And it is
brutal.
Ugly, man. I thought the quote was basically like, Brooke, if you're going to date a black guy, date a rich black guy. That is the thesis of the quote. However, the language and the fact that two different times, this would have been the easiest case in history. Two different times he goes, yeah, I'm a racist.
Yeah,
It's like if I had you on tape being like, you're damn right I shot that guy with the gun under my bed. You know what I mean? It's like, I think you did it. So he didn't even go like that stupid old rich white guy thing where he goes, I'm not a racist, but he didn't even do that.
No, he said it.
He goes, I'm a racist. Here's 8 N-bombs. And
yeah, that's the big thing.
It's so bad.
It's real ugly. And again, I don't need to see Hulk Hogan.
Right.
Right. And I don't need to have him on TV. I don't need him to host SummerSlam. I just want to be able to talk about him when we have cool moments.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's it.
And if they had just stayed the Buffalo Bills course, we could have done that.
Because this is a good thing, right? We can't do it with John Cena, but we can do it with Hulk Hogan. Yeah, Terry Bollea, you're a scumbag, dude.
Yeah, you suck, man.
You suck.
You suck.
You know what? Hulk Hogan, that character, he's awesome. You even said it during that entire thing, and I don't want to see it. I don't need to see it. But it's like Hulk Hogan's got a 12-inch penis.
Yeah.
And Terry Bollea's got like a 4-inch.
Yeah, and a shriveled up little
or whatever. Little nonsense. Whatever nonsense saying.
But I look out there, and like I said, I see people who, you know, it would ruin the show if he came back. And in a lot of ways, at least for the short term, ruin WWE for people if he came back and was a physical presence on TV and did anything, right? And so I look like, you know, I look at people like I respect a lot, like Reese, right?
Yeah.
It would ruin the show for her, maybe even ruin her day. And so I start to weigh these things and I go, I'm an adult man who would get a kick out of seeing a 60-something-year-old dude rip off his shirt. and Reese, it would ruin her day.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? My thing isn't as important as her thing. And so me being like, hey, I get to see Hulk Hogan for the 35,000th time.
Right.
My wants aren't as important as hers.
The other thing, too,
in this scenario.
The other thing, too, is that this isn't the break glass in case of emergency that I needed WWE to pull.
Isn't this all in response to low ratings and Ring of Honor running at MSG?
It is. That is exactly what this is we need to catch headlines. And while the wrestling community might not be, you know, in tune with it, right? Everybody forgot about Hulk Hogan years ago and all that nonsense with Gawker and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
A lot of people never knew in the first place. All they knew was about some sort of a sex tape, and he sued them.
Right, exactly.
So in a lot of ways, people think Hulk Hogan's the victim in all this.
Right, and so they don't even know that he got pulled from the Hall of Fame and he had to get it reinstated. And so, yeah, Hulk Hogan being back in, like, being a part of WWE and, like, the suspension and everything, probably the first time the general public heard about it. They don't know what's going on. And, yeah, there's a bunch of people that don't watch wrestling consistently that are going to hear, oh, Hulk Hogan's going to host SummerSlam?
Yep.
I'll watch SummerSlam.
You're also introducing him back to your audience because there's a lot of reports that Fox wants him to be the general manager of SmackDown.
Right. And so you look at it and that's who that's for. That's their break glass in case of emergency. We need to have Terry, and I don't need that. I need you to double down on good storytelling. I need you to evolve as a program. There is a laundry list of things that I need you to do and I want you to do, and bringing back Hulk Hogan and old Hall of Famers is not one of them.
Why does Ring of Honor, why does New Japan rely on nostalgia about 5%? Why does Ring of Honor,
never.
Why does Ring of,
never.
Rey Mysterio and Chris Jericho, I would call nostalgia-y. I'm giving it 5%.
Yeah, okay.
I'm giving it 5%, right? So why does New Japan use 5% nostalgia? Why does Ring of Honor use 0, right? And why does WWE...
I don't know. I'd call Bully Ray nostalgia for calling Rey Mysterio and Y2J
Is
nostalgia.
He Ring of Honor again?
Yeah.
Okay.
He wrestled Flip a few weeks ago.
Yeah, sure. That's fine then. So let's call them both 5%.
Yeah, sure.
Why does WWE use 95%?
Right.
And here's something that I'll bring up. And again, just to clap off that central point is, it's going to make me... It would have, and not anymore, because of reading the quote, seeing how, like, again, Titus O'Neil's out there busting his ass 200 nights a year.
Right.
The New Day are out there busting their ass 200 nights a year. And this guy's going to stroll in and go, 30 years ago, I did something amazing, and you owe me.
Everything.
And the other thing, too, is you are an idiot if you think this is Hulk Hogan's second chance. Hulk Hogan's a scumbag. He has been screwing over people and promoters and friends and wrestlers and wives and forever and forever and forever. This might be the first N-bomb he has to be forgiven for.
Yeah.
But it's certainly not the first time we got to look the other way while Hulk Hogan's a secret scumbag pretending to be Captain America. You know what I mean? And I understand that too. And so like I said, a week ago it would have made me kind of happy to see Hulk Hogan. I would have got a 5-minute pop of, whoa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like I said, Reese ruined her week. So don't ruin her week so I can get a 5-minute pop. I can go watch Hogan rock if I need to get my jollies.
Right.
Right.
And that's all I want. That's all I want is that when we have a WrestleMania, oh my God, awesome moments package, that Rock and Hogan is a part of it. But I don't need Terry Bollea to show up at SummerSlam.
Here's something I'll bring up.
How about we figure out the continuity of our storytelling as to how flippin' Baron Corbin
out of the table. Let me offer you a 2-pronged solution.
Yeah.
One of them is every single thing you just said. Work on your characters. Work on your stories. Give me one plot line that I want to see go from it developed on show A, it rose on show B, we got a climax on show C, and a payoff on show
D. I don't understand how you can nail it with Gargano and Ciampa.
Just NXT in general.
And just NXT in general. But I don't understand how you can nail it with them.
Because Vince McMahon's alive.
But, and he's not in charge.
So you're right. Do that. But then the fact that we just told WWE to go mine for gold on the moon, in their mind,
right,
we're like,
yeah,
work
we're
on storytelling. And they're like,
how?
They're like, ha, 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 that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that we're starting a new network special called WWE Food Fight? It's just Xavier Woods eating a pie. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's their priority. So let me throw this at you. Let me throw like a, okay, WWE, maybe you'll actually do this. How about when the ratings are down How about when the ratings come crashing down and they hurt inside, right? We actually don't go to Hulk Hogan. And how about we dust off Stone Cold Steve Austin? Why do we ignore everything about Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Because
they're not PG. Okay. Am I going to be happy about a fingerless Steve Austin? No. But I'll live with it compared to trotting out, can't do anything anymore, makes everybody mad Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Where is Steve Austin?
You're absolutely right. Well, the answer to that is because the WWE created the Attitude Era out of necessity.
Uh-huh.
They did not want to be that promotion, right? Because I don't know who you want to believe, doesn't matter really, but they didn't know what to do. So the Attitude Era kind of starts with D-Generation X, right? Your top guy in Shawn Michaels is going out there and telling everybody to suck his dick and look at my butt. He's and it's so fun. And it's just like, well, we're either going to sink or live with this, but I got to roll with it because this is my top guy and I got to let him do whatever he wants. And people seem to like
it. They never rolled with the times more than they rolled with the mid-90s.
Right. And so they've always wanted to be that programming from the 80s. Because if you look at it, that's what now is.
Right. What Vince McMahon has done every single time is look at what the number one TV show in America is and try to duplicate that genre. In the 1980s, the number one programming in America were family-based sitcoms. So what did he try to do? He tried to create a show with big, colorful characters that had situations like, you know, Elizabeth is, you know, having a love triangle, whatever. Yep. But it was soap operas and family-based sitcoms were the biggest thing in the 1980s. Right. General Hospital, Days of Our Lives, those are huge programs. So what did he do? Okay, I can do a soap opera. They just got to wrestle instead of slap each other in a hospital.
Yeah, right.
And then in the 1990s, what was the number one rated show on television? Jerry Springer.
Right.
People want the chairs and blood and swears and hookers.
Right.
I can do blood and chairs and swears and hookers. And then what happened? Obviously, Chris Benoit happened. And then we saw the landscape around 2008, 2006, 8-ish, whatever, shift into more family-oriented content, something to bring everybody to.
And again, it goes back to that 80s style of... They revert back to the 80s.
Yes, he always wanted to be Liberace doing the can-can in the middle of the ring instead of Steve Austin hosing someone down with beer. Always.
And that's what the problem is. The problem is that he doesn't want... Like, he will forever be indebted to Stone Cold Steve Austin, but he doesn't want Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Brandon Banks says you could feel pretty icky about Stone Cold Steve Austin, too. You sure can. But what I'm asking people to do is, maybe I'm not asking anybody to do anything. Maybe I'm not going to ask anybody to do anything. I'm not going to ask anybody to forgive anybody. That certainly wasn't what I was going to say. What I was going to say is ask people to say, you know, can we go through the list of, unfortunately, the pro wrestling business, and I hate to say this, is legendarily not been chock full of Eagle Scouts. You know what I mean?
But NEW does have the Man Scout.
That's true. But, you know, you're right. So what I'm trying to do here is climb down the ladder, and then I'm not even going to pretend like I'm going to be like, well, racism and wife beating, what do you think is worse? Discuss. I'm not going to have that conversation right now.
Yeah.
So maybe we don't bring back Steve Austin either. Maybe we focus on the program.
The new, the now.
But if the answer, because it's been WWF's answer for 20 years, is nostalgia, then for the love of God, because we can't get The Rock, we cannot afford Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No.
Steve Austin, because I don't ever need to see Ric Flair. I don't need Hulk Hogan. I don't need any of them. But if you insist...
Yeah, because I want Finn Balor and Seth Rollins.
And here's the thing, and I'm not going to speak for anybody, but I bet you, I would bet, just opinion, more people in the crowd would accept Steve Austin coming back and doing a little something-something at SummerSlam...
100%.
...than Hulk Hogan. And I'm not asking people to go out there and consciously weigh... alleged wife beating and recorded racism. I'm not asking you to go out there and be like, you have to pick one. No, you don't. What I'm saying is the general public, like I would imagine that 95% of black fans in that crowd are going to hate seeing Hulk Hogan be part of their show if they bought a ticket to go.
And 100% are going to love Stone Cold.
Honest to God. You know what I mean? Like they just really probably would. Probably. I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know. And I'm not asking you to like Stone Cold Steve Austin either. I'm just trying to throw reasonable solutions at a company that works a certain way.
Right. And because the real answer is you know what? You should do what you do best and imitate the more popular forms of entertainment in this in the world right now.
Make comic book movies.
And make comic book movies.
Yeah.
Or dynamic dramas.
Right, because you know what the formula for the Marvel universe was? It was Vince McMahon's. What I'm going to do is I am going to create all these compelling, interesting, individual stories, and then we're going to have one show where they all blow off.
Yep.
WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And now we don't do that anymore.
No.
Now Bayley and Sasha Banks start their tension at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And don't work an Extreme Rules match despite the fact that they hate each other.
But they love each other.
Right. And because we're just like, well, we have to get to Brooklyn. Okay. Then my suggestion would be start the program way closer to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And things like that.
Right.
And so, again, my grand sweeping solution isn't just dust off Steve Austin. But I think it's better than Hulk Hogan.
It sure is better than Hulk Hogan.
And I think that, like, where I am now...
Even Kevin Nash would be better than Hulk Hogan.
I guess. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, people like Sting. I mean, he's not your guy, and you fucking blew it with Sting. But, like, I mean, again, I'm not going to start being like, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. No, just use the people. How about the answer to better ratings is Seth Rollins?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
Not Hulk Hogan.
Oh, but you know what? The fans are too busy counting down from 25 minutes.
I would rather you're putting him on the flipping video game pre-order. I'd rather you embrace Rey Mysterio. At least Rey Mysterio is a role model. You know what I mean?
Right.
These people like Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio, to my knowledge, comes with zero baggage.
None.
You know what I mean? Have him host SummerSlam. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
right.
maybe he could do
or
something.
Or Jericho.
Right. Maybe he could do something. You know what I mean? Chris Jericho would be a better choice. You're right. Where I am with Hulk Hogan is you read the quote and you go, wow, that is gross.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Then you see, like I said, you see Titus O'Neil and The New Day go, we're not psyched about this because we just don't, it's just, it fell flat. And then I go, man, any little bit of enjoyment I would have got out of it, I don't know if I even would anymore, knowing how gross this thing is.
Yep.
And then the other reality, too, that we haven't even talked about is there is no place on this programming for Hulk Hogan.
Nope.
No.
What are you talking about? Hulk Hogan? Where does Hulk Hogan slot into this programming right now?
To raise Bobby Lashley's hand when he beats Brock Lesnar.
Right. Like, you know what I mean? And that I don't even think is going to happen.
No.
Because Lesnar's going to walk
into
UFC as the Universal Champion.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't.
Where do I even put you?
I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need you. You shouldn't be a thing. Thank you for the memories, but I need this company to embrace the talent that they have. You have the most talented roster ever assembled in one WWE company at any one given time. This is it. And you refuse to embrace it. And when it comes crashing down and it hurts inside, you turn to a man that is going to be fine for SummerSlam.
And you know
and
what?
That's it.
And you know what Hogan would attract? The kind of people that Hogan would attract now are 35-year-old bros who would go
get a kick out of Hulk Hogan.
Go get drunk, go, the Hulkster. I don't care about any of his rumors or any of his whatever. Hey, it's the Hulkster. Get drunk with your friends. And then you know what? Then they don't watch Raw the next night.
No, they don't.
Then anybody that Hulk Hogan would bring in is a band-aid when this company needs not even stitches, they need sutures.
They need surgery.
Exactly. And they're just like, well, Hulk Hogan, you know, it's like putting like scotch tape over it and be like, that'll do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it won't. Because like I said, anybody that he brings in is not a new, like a returning client.
No.
Because it's not, meanwhile, if Stone Cold Steve Austin were the sheriff of Raw through the summer, maybe.
Yep.
And please, again, if you have a fundamentally moral flaw or issue with Stone Cold Steve Austin, then we don't need him back either. The only reason I bring up Austin is because I'm trying to work with a company that's only going to play a certain way.
Right.
So you insist on the answer being a legend. Move on from Hulk Hogan.
Right.
This is and take note that if Randy Orton gets caught saying something like this, for example,
right,
that what you do is that you Buffalo Bills him. Look, Randy Orton won like 11 titles here, and we can't pretend that didn't happen. But he's off the website, we're not selling the merch, and Randy Orton's never going to host WrestleMania. Agreed?
Cool.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then if we come out one day and decide that we're going to forgive Randy Orton for whatever goddamn reason, all we do is put him back on the webpage and don't tell anybody.
Right.
And just see if you notice.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean? Or we don't forgive him because guess what? these guys dry up with value, and somebody like, and I'm now about to just bury Randy Orton randomly, but Randy Orton will never have the draw power and name notoriety of Hulk Hogan.
Nope.
Right.
So I don't need to dust off Randy Orton in 25 years. You know what I mean? So if Randy Orton were to say something terrible on tape, bye-bye, Randy Orton.
Yeah, right.
And again, Randy Orton didn't do anything wrong. I'm just saying.
He just pooped in a purse once.
Exactly.
Which is kind of funny.
But that's the thing. Is like, you know, you the fact that you just were like, without saying so many words, we forgave Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, WWE got together and a company owned by a bunch of white people got together and forgave Hulk Hogan on behalf of all the black people.
Yep.
Good. Interesting.
Wow.
In this weird age we're in, too.
Right. How big of them? You know what I mean? And if you're, again, I've said this 1,000 times when we've talked about a whole bunch of issues. There's two things that I bring to this table. One, I'm being honest. And two, I'm coming from this vantage point of a straight, white, Christian male. I have never been persecuted in my life. I don't have any words. You know what I mean? There's no, like, one word you can call me that'll ruin my day. There's no, you know, stereo. I mean, I'm Irish. Oh, you like to drink. Oh, you got me. You know what I mean? I don't have.
It's true.
I have never been a person of color. I have never been gay. I have never been a woman. I have never been.
Well, that second one you could try.
Yeah, right. That's the most on the table. I think it's the least expensive option out of the three.
Yeah, it definitely is.
But I've never been, like I said, I've never been gay. I've never been a woman. I've never been a person of color. So when I come at you with an opinion and go like, this is how I feel, I understand that it comes in a certain bubble. I do. And that I'm not going to go out there and tell, you know, any black person listening right now, it's like, hey, haven't you got over it by now and forgive Hulk Hogan? Because then you read the quote, and I'm a white guy, and I'm like, I don't know if I forgive Hulk Hogan. In fact, I don't think I do.
Yeah.
That is gross. And the last point is, the thing that comes to me is the word that just keeps filtering through my head over and over again with this whole thing is just utter disappointment.
Yeah.
You were the model of being a perfect American man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
You were,
yeah, right. You were the real American.
Do the right thing. Say your prayers. Take your vitamins. Drink milk. Be good to your parents. Love your country. These were the Hulk Hogan-isms that, like, shaped kids. You know what I mean? And then to find out that it was just all a facade. It was just literally all a character.
Right, because at least for the most part, John Cena feels, like, genuine. Now,
I think John Cena is a genuine extension of John Cena.
Right.
I do. I think it's John Cena turned. I think it's turned up to 10. But at the same time, these make-a-wishes are putting his money where his mouth is.
Right.
All these appearances he does. I think John Cena. I don't know him, but I bet you John Cena is a good person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Terry Bollea. I bet you Terry Bollea is not. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. It's so disappointing because that guy left in 1994, came back in 2002 with somebody else's gimmick and just swept everybody away. And that match with The Rock will live forever. And it's like the opening spot, and it's like everybody in the crowd got hit by thunder, like by lightning, and won the lottery. Sheer jubilance. This guy, I remember we had a neighborhood watch and we watched that match and Colin said it great. Hogan just flexes and 60,000 people stand up and cheer and Hogan and Colin just goes, this guy, you know what I mean? What is it about this guy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was such a special pro wrestling talent and now he ruined like all of it, man. Like, and it's so disappointing because, you know, like luckily for me, as I get to a point of life where I don't need heroes kind of quote unquote kind of thing. Thank God Bill Goldberg turned out to be a genuinely amazing human being.
You know what
I mean? Because that's now the guy that I can look and go, if I need to like think about a, you know, pro wrestling and not, you know, want to take a shower, I think about guys like Bill Goldberg, you know what I mean? John Cena.
Right.
That there are good ones out there, but then you realize, as we found, more often than not, they're not great people.
No.
And Hulk Hogan's not a good person. Will we see him?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna.
I hope not, yeah, you're
gonna,
honestly.
The answer is yes.
You're gonna.
I would be shocked if, with us being literally a month away from SummerSlam, the actual quote coming out and spreading around the internet, and you know how that stuff spreads so quickly right now.
Sure, yeah.
And the New Day's reaction, Titus O'Neil's reaction, the public's reaction, I'm not so sure that if he hosts SummerSlam, he might get booed out of the building.
I think you will. I think if Hulk Hogan comes out at SummerSlam, what you're going to get is an initial pop, and then when it's promo time, I think you'll hear boos.
Yeah.
I think that you might hear some cheers too, but I think here's the problem. The way I equate Hulk Hogan, I told you the guys was off the air yesterday. Hulk Hogan, in so many ways, Hulk Hogan is Donald Trump.
Right.
Where there are people out there that won't admit they like and voted for Trump, but they are out there. Just like there are people out there that like and want to see Hulk Hogan, but are kind of afraid to talk about it right now. And the biggest thing is, if you're a Hogan fan, if you're in a big public setting right now, most Trump supporters, if they think they're outnumbered, just sort of say nothing, right?
Right.
If you're a Hogan fan, but look around and don't want to be the guy cheering the controversial guy, you'll say nothing.
Right.
So the pops will be silence, and the boos will be audible.
Right.
Kind of thing. I believe that might happen. Because I think you're going to have an uncomfortable crowd that's almost afraid to cheer the guy, even if they do want to.
Yeah.
You'll have a bunch of people that don't want to. And then you'll, I think you'll have people that are afraid to do it, even if they're compelled to.
I think the initial, the first time Real American hits.
That exactly.
Everybody's going to lose their mind,
I agree with that. And then it comes down to, and then the dust sort of settles. And
right.
He's got to talk.
Right.
And
the issue is that if you're going to have Hulk Hogan come out, You just got to ride the high of the comeback. So, like, you can't have him come out on Raw next week and then have him be the host of SummerSlam, right? Because...
Oh, they have to announce it.
Right, but you can announce it without him being there.
You think so?
Right, because what you want is, you want Real American to hit because it's only going to be over the one time when you first hear it. Right, if this is going to go down,
you think so? Even though you think being like, say, I watch it on Raw, but then I go to SummerSlam. You don't think being there live would sweep you away, kind of thing?
Well, no. What I'm saying is that if the first time Hulk Hogan comes out since not being there, everybody's going to be forgiving in that moment. But if that's next week, everybody's going to be forgiving on Raw. But when we have time to sit and stew and think to get to SummerSlam, people are going to just go bananas on the boo train at SummerSlam.
Yeah, Luke had heard that he might be the special guest referee for the Lesnar match.
Oh, no, thank you.
That is less a rumor and more a Ryan Satin fan fiction piece, and I'm not burying Ryan. He said it in his tweets. Ryan Satin said it in his tweet, go, this is a theory. What if Hogan was the enforcer, raised Lashley's hand? That was not like that pro wrestling, she didn't hear they were doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
All I can tell you, and Ryan is just as, if not more connected than we are, all I can tell you is the early rumblings are they're kicking around the idea of him hosting SummerSlam.
Right, and if the first time you physically see him is before then he will be booed.
I understand that point, though. You're right. It's probably better to just like, look, we're doing one thing. Because I really do. If kind of living in a world where we're going to do it once.
Yep.
Do it once.
Yeah, don't have him come out on Raw
right.
to then come out at SummerSlam again.
Because the rumors going around are that Fox wants him to be the GM of SmackDown.
That's insanity.
And it's because they really think that if you're 35 to 50, you'll be more inclined to watch because you hear the name Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And they're probably right, at least at first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then you realize that Terry's not working, stumbling over his words, and looks like a hot dog you left out in the sun.
Yeah.
And there's not much there anymore. The problem is he's 60-something.
Right.
What do I do?
Let him go.
Like, honest to God, like, let's say Hulk Hogan was let's say that Terry Bollea and Hulk Hogan were one and the same. What a squeaky clean, honest American hero that jumped in front of a bullet for a bald eagle once.
Right.
Well, and led the NAACP and gives a bunch of money to black kids for college tuition. Right. He's just the man. I still don't know what to do with him.
Right. Because again, I said this when we had those posters floating around of AJ Styles versus Shawn Michaels
last year. That would have been less fun than you think.
That's exactly what it is. Where it's like, you don't want 2017, 2018 Shawn Michaels versus 2018. Versus 2018 AJ Styles. What you want is 2004 Shawn Michaels versus 2004 AJ Styles.
Yeah, right. And
or 2010.
Really, AJ Styles now would have been acceptable. It's the Shawn Michaels.
It's the Shawn Michaels
that wasn't bringing everything to the table.
Right. So it's like, you don't want Hulk Hogan in 2018.
No. Like I said, even if Hulkster was, you know, A number one, what do I do with Hulk Hogan?
Right.
What do I do with Hulk Hogan?
Right.
Right. Like, I'm trying to think of a legend that, like, we're on good terms with but still don't need. You know what I mean? That's actually, like, a really great guy, because Ric Flair's not a great guy.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, God bless him.
Hillbilly Jim.
No. God bless him. Loved having him on. Great to meet him. But, I mean, we don't need Mick Foley anymore, do we? We don't need Mick Foley anymore.
Kurt Angle.
Right? Oh, I like Angle. I think he's terrible at his job.
Oh, no. My favorite part about Kurt Angle is he's Kermit from The Muppet Show, just trying to hold it together.
He's running around just,
Braun, please don't rip anything down today.
Bill, real quick, we haven't heard much from you. What do you think about Hulk Hogan? Will we see him? What do you think if we do all this
stuff? I absolutely despise the idea. I'm tired of things ruining the product that I enjoy watching. And if you give any sort of advance notice, even if it's 48 hours of Hulk Hogan hosting SummerSlam, you're going to allow this rabid internet fan base to just tear this whole thing apart.
Yeah.
And you are going to get boos, heavy boos, in Brooklyn. And I just don't need it. We don't need the fans turning on this product, especially when we're going to get even more of it going forward with the billion-dollar investments with Raw and SmackDown. There's just absolutely no need for Hulk Hogan to be anywhere near this television screen. No.
Do you think Bobby Lashley is a big babyface, like a very well-received, hugely popular babyface?
No.
So you don't think that Bobby Lashley's the kind of guy that could, like, save a match just by being in it?
Nope.
No.
So you're telling me that the idea floating around, and Satin's idea, which has weight to it, again, I'm not burying Ryan, that idea might happen. So you're telling me that you don't think Bobby Lashley could bail them out of a match containing Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, and Hulk Hogan in it?
Nope.
Perhaps the three most popular guys in the company right now? And the saving grace will be, don't worry, everybody, Bobby Lashley's going to win.
Yeah, no.
Oh, that sounds like perhaps the worst main event of SummerSlam's history.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be three boos and silence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Your best case scenario is Raphael.
Yeah, right.
Because Bobby Lashley's Raphael.
Yeah, yes. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Looks just like, yeah, not the Renaissance painter.
Yeah, no.
What a disaster. Are you for real that you think that you can get away with slipping Lesnar and Reigns and Hogan out there in the same match because Lashley's part of it?
I just don't understand why you have a guy that is that could immediately just make all of your troubles go away for SummerSlam. And that's that haunted leprechaun.
Yeah.
That's it, right? Hey, look. I never lost this title. I'm going to be a haunted leprechaun.
Seth Rollins. It's not even. Because now Finn Balor is short, so it's over. So it's Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is the answer. You like him. Everybody likes him. Triple H likes him. Vince McMahon likes him.
Yeah, right.
We likes him. What's the problem? Like, I'm not even the world's biggest Seth Rollins fan. I love him. I think he's amazing. But I'm not like a super mark for him. And even I'm over here going, what about Rollins? You know what I mean?
It's because
I thought he was so acceptable across the board.
It's because we need to count down during his Iron Man match.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that during the Patreon show, about that crowd just really laid an egg and the importance of what a good crowd can be.
Because now we get Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, and that'll be an interesting reaction from the crowd. So in conclusion, my thoughts on Hulk Hogan have changed a lot just because what I've seen.
This is shocking with the conversation we had off air the other night that you've turned this way.
Yeah, it's because I saw the quote and then saw the New Day's quote and then saw Titus O'Neil's quote and then saw my timeline full of people I respect of color who had a problem with it. People I respect who are also white that have a problem with it. And then I just looked and I went, my little bit of joy, might already be gone because I don't know if I could feel good about this. It's surrounded by so much bad. I don't think I feel good about any of it anymore. And even if I did find it somewhere in me to appreciate the nostalgia that is Hulk Hogan, it's going to make so many people feel so betrayed, so unlistened to, so bad about what they're looking at. And they love WWE so much, and WWE is just going to be like, I don't care. We're doing it. That I just don't want them to. I don't want them. I don't want Hulk. I hate this. I love you. I love Hulk Hogan. I'm talking to 1994. I love you, man. But you blew it. Yeah. You're not the victim here. You're a bad guy got exposed for being bad.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be able to straight white male my way through this and just go, la, 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 it's Hulk Hogan, I don't care. I find myself caring, and I find myself caring a lot to the point where, yeah, don't do it, man. Don't, like, WWE, put him on your webpage and
yeah, that's fine.
Go away. Because Terry, you, I mean, goddamn, man, between the way you used to jerk around Piper, then he died, you call him his best, your best friend. Same with Savage. Roddy Piper hated you. Randy Savage hated you. Jim Hellwig hated you, right? Like, Bret Hart hates you. You know what I mean? Shawn Michaels hates you.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think you go to every locker room you've ever been a part of, Terry, and leave a trail of middle fingers? Why? Yeah. Why do you think that is? Maybe you suck. You know what I mean?
Right.
And Hulk Hogan was a lot of fun, and it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's not 1988 anymore.
We don't have the luxury here of if Christian Bale were to, you know, like when Christian Bale freaked out, right? At least it wasn't racially based or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, during Terminator.
Exactly. But let's say he threw a couple N-bombs in there, right? Hey, we're getting a new Batman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We can't get a new Hulk Hogan. But, and I used to feel that what you got out of it outweighed the bad and Hulk Hogan's too important to ignore.
No.
Now,
well,
you did everything you did, as scary and awful as time is, we're getting close to saying that he did things 40 years ago.
Yeah, and again, I don't need you to trot out Hulk Hogan because at the end of the day, that's not going to help the WWE product. It's not going to help Monday Night Raw.
No.
What's going to help Monday Night Raw is investing in storytelling, investing in the most talented roster you've ever had.
Yep.
So don't trot out this old white racist bastard because you think that there's going to be some college bros that are going to get a kick out of it and going to get drunk and get the free subscription because you know they're not going to actually pay for SummerSlam.
Yep.
They're going to have a new email, get someone's card that hasn't signed up for it. They're going to find a way to not pay for it. So at the end of the day, Hulk Hogan's not going to net you anything.
TK's listening live. Shout out to TK. We love you. Con Man, Lexi, Ann, all. Hope you're doing well. He wants Ricky Steamboat back. That's the legend that TK wants back.
Fun.
And he lost.
Terry
lost him 20 years ago. He didn't like. He didn't like Hogan because he had to be the star of the NWO. It's been a long time coming. Where T Hog's done with the Hulkster. I am. Like I said. You know, if I really, really need to get my jollies, I can watch stuff on the network mm-hmm. when he could actually wrestle, when the crowd actually enjoyed him, when it's actually the Hulk Hogan stuff with a good vibe to it because how ignorant we were at the time. But I hate to say it, but you did this to yourself.
Yep.
And it's over.
Just
man.
Don't do it.
It's over, dude.
Back away.
Yeah, it is. It's over, dude. So will Hulk Hogan come back? Yeah. I think people do need to kind of brace themselves for that.
Ugh.
If he doesn't, WWE is listening. If he does,
I
think they're kind of tone deaf to their audience.
It's hard
to
avoid.
To
even they their are. Own employees,
well,
too.
Well, the thing is that they're tone deaf because they're tone deaf to their audience because their audience can't keep their shit together.
Well, there's that. And again, we're going to talk about that on the Patreon edition, which we're going to be recording in just a few minutes. Are you doing Late Night Liam tonight?
Yeah, we're going to do something real quick.
Awesome. So don't go anywhere. If you're on Mixlr or you're on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV, don't go anywhere. Late Night Liam is going to be taking over. And then on the Patreon edition, we are going to be talking about the major development in NXT that went down tonight. We're going to stay spoiler free unless you want to, you know, record and fast forward through it. So we'll do that on the Patreon show. And we will talk about what a crowd can mean to a wrestling event and how Pittsburgh really let the three of us down. All of that is available on the Patreon edition. You can find that on newageinsiders.com, patreon.com/newageinsiders. Everything we've got going on, everything to sign up is available on the website. So please do check that out, newageinsiders.com. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed this frank conversation.
Yeah.
We hope that it was respectful. And of course, we want to know what you think about the return of Hulk Hogan. Everything going on in the world of wrestling. That is what we do here at the New Age Insiders. My name has been Jason Maltop.
I am Liam Stryker.
And I'm Mel Nibble.
Huge shout out to our guest, Jordan Grace, for joining the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter and please do, including during these broadcasts, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville, NAI. Like I said, the website with everything we've got going on is newageinsiders.com. The revamped, reshaped New Age Insiders Network drops at the end of the summer. We are psyched to show you what the future holds for what we've got going on. And as SummerSlam rolls around and it comes crashing down, we hope it doesn't hurt inside. And thank you for making us the premier place for wrestling fans of all varieties to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.